You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. This Saturday evening, February 11th, it's our last show before Valentine's Day, so we're going to be playing you some that feel-good, loving music from the 1960s, because you know that's the best music that was ever made, don't you, folks? Hey, let me tell you something from the heart. It is great to be back. As I'm sure anyone who tuned into the show last night knows, or rather last week knows, I was out. I was out on a very rare Saturday night for me to be out, but I was on vacation, took my wife out of town. We actually cut the vacation a day short so we could get back to Memphis in time to take in a Garth Brooks concert. So I was actually in Memphis last Saturday night, and it took every fiber of my being not to be in the studio that evening, but it is almost unprecedented that I'm not here on Saturday nights. And as most married couples know, Saturday night's prime time real estate for going out, having a good time, spending time with family. And I'm always at work, which is my obligation, which is where I need to be. And I make up that to the family in other ways and at other times. But it is very unusual for me to not be with you on a Saturday night.
Well, Garth wouldn't reschedule to accommodate
that's
James.
That's right. We did ask. But anyway, it felt good at the time. But after 2 weeks of not being here, going back to the last night I was on the air, which was 2 weeks ago tonight, it really starts to grate at me. I was chomping at the bit, waiting to get unbridled tonight so I could be back on the air with you. I did enjoy having some time off last weekend with the family, but it is great to be back tonight. I couldn't get into the studio quickly enough this evening. So that's where I was last week. Eddie held down the fort in a very rare occasion where he was unleashed. And Eddie basically had some guests on that talked about Jews for a couple of hours. He and Sam Bushman broke down some of the latest in the Donald Trump administration, including the riots at Berkeley, some of the executive orders. Did a great job with that. I enjoyed the show last week. I listened to it last Sunday morning. But for me, it is great to be back with you tonight. Absence does make the heart grow fonder, doesn't it, folks? It certainly feels that way for me, having missed you so much last Saturday night, to be back with you this evening. And let me tell you how tonight's show is going to go. We are going to continue to recap some of the things that Donald Trump has done since the last time Keith Alexander and I were on the air, which was, of course, 2 weeks ago tonight. And later on this evening, we're going to have the Red Ice team on the air with us to talk Trump and, of course, about their latest exploits as well. Lana Lochtiff and Henrik Palmgren will be with us, two of the leading lights of our cause, no doubt about that. Really, really like and admire Lana and Henrik, and we have really strengthened our collaboration together over the course of the last 12 months. So it's going to be good to have them back on with us this evening as well. Let's see, what else? The thing about my writing is I just can never read it. I think I know what I'm writing at the time, but when I go back to review some notes from a few days prior, throughout the week, when something comes to mind that I want to share with you on the air, I'll jot it down. Reading it later is the trick. I just don't know what that says. So let's fill you in on some of the things that Trump's done on a very warm February night in Memphis. It's about 95 degrees in the studio tonight. I don't know how that's possible, but it is. Donald Trump Jr., how about this, Donald Trump Jr.? You all remember our association with Donald Trump Jr., don't you? Doing the right thing is difficult. This really sets the stage for everything that's gone on in the Trump administration since we were last on the air with you. Doing the right thing is difficult, Trump Jr. writes. Many people will hate you for it. This is the burden of putting America first, and that is certainly the case. Customs agents ignored the judge's order with regard to enforcing Trump's travel ban. It continued to turn people away at the airports. Thank God for that. And when you have a strong man like Trump, it puts spines into the backs of cucks like Reince Priebus. How about this? Reince Priebus goes on TV and he says, "We apologize for nothing." All of a sudden, people like Reince Priebus are becoming men thanks to their leadership like Trump. Stephen Miller of the White House, "If there weren't protests, that means you're probably not doing anything that really matters." Now, this is a tone, Keith, coming from the head table that we can get solidly behind. We back Trump to the hilt all the way through the campaign, played a role in his defeat of Hillary Clinton. It got a little shaky there during the transition. There was some there were some concerning appointments. But I'll tell you what, since he has been president of the United States, he has tackled the most contentious of his policies, the most contentious of his campaign issues, building the wall, stopping refugees from coming in, and some of the other things that would be his toughest of sales. That is what he has taken on from the beginning, and his men are backing him, and we're backing him, and thank God he's the president.
Well, the key issue, the one that is really going to push the buttons of the left, is immigration. That is their key strategy. Like Bertolt Brecht said, if you don't like the election results, change the electorate. That's what they're in the process of doing. So we're going to have a totally different America if they have their way. And when Trump starts doing things about refugee resettlement or the border wall, that's when he has stopped preaching and started meddling in their terms, in their minds. And that's when the gloves come off. All the other things, they can accept little setbacks because they will be temporary. When they change the demographic profile of our nation, they'll be in the catbird seat from now till the end of time.
Well, of course, the press is framing this completely different, and there's going to be a reckoning with the press sooner or later, that I can tell you. The press is saying that the Trump immigration ban is causing a brain drain in the United States, as if we're not going to be able to make it without the intelligence of these refugees who are coming over. Well, Kevin McDonald compile the numbers of the seven countries that Trump has banned immigration from. The average IQ of those seven countries is 85. So I rather doubt that we're going to be missing anything in the brains department. How about this, though? As the press says that Trump's popularity is lower than any president in history after his first 3 weeks in office, Rasmussen poll says 57% favor Trump's immigration ban. 57%.
Look, if you believe that, talk to us after the show. There's a bridge in Brooklyn we might be able to interest you in buying.
Washington Post reports that the White House is considering deporting legal immigrants on programs like food stamps and publicizing their usage. Please do, President Trump. I wrote a tweet. By the way, this is something we'll get into later in the show. I was temporarily banned from Twitter this week. We'll talk about that later. But the suspension has been lifted, and so I'm back. I wrote on Twitter, "God bless you, President, for putting America first. The Muslim ban is the right thing to do. Don't be bothered by virtue signaling cucks and social justice warriors." And the news reported on that. It wasn't favorable. They said, "Hey, listen to what the white supremacists are saying." White supremacist James Edwards said, "God bless you." How horrible. We'll talk about that later in the show.
I guess acknowledging God is your greatest sin.
Here's another one. "Government by white nationalism is upon us." That's a headline, as if Trump and all of these people are white nationalists. We'll be right back.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
My sister began smoking because of friends. I don't think any less of her because she smokes, but it's been really hard because I know she could have done better if she hadn't chose to smoke. She's trying to quit actually right now, but it's a really hard process and she's down to a couple of cigarettes a day, so she's doing really good, but it's been a really hard thing in my family actually. It's caused a lot of problems. My sister smoking definitely hurt my parents. I'd come home sometimes, my mom would just be in tears.
Smoking hurts a lot of people, most of whom don't even smoke.
I definitely think my religion has played a role in me not smoking. I'm a Christian and I believe I'm better because I don't smoke. Smoking hurts your friends, your family. It's not worth it in the long run. And you may not realize it now if you are smoking, but you will.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, you know, that's the king, Elvis Presley, who was the biggest thing to come out of Memphis until we took to the airwaves in 2004.
And one more thing about that, that is Chip's moment of Memphis. The producer that produced everybody from Neil Diamond to B.J. Thomas to the Gatlin Brothers to T.G. Shepherd. Country hits, rock hits, blues hits. He covered the waterfront.
I almost didn't even want to start talking this segment. I just wanted the song to play out. It's hard to interrupt good stuff like that.
Memphis's favorite son.
We don't waste any opportunity to play some oldies on this show. So if it's Halloween, we'll find some Christmas.
And being Memphians, we have a special place in our heart for Elvis. Yeah,
sure we do. And he's from Tupelo, Mississippi. I mean, you can't get much more southern than Mississippi. Anyway, I've got so much to say after missing a week. There's just not going to be enough time tonight. This is going to be one of those shows where you just want to stay all night long. I was saying right before the last break. First break of the night, I should say. Headlines screaming, government by white nationalism is upon us. It's not just rhetoric anymore. It's a political administration that will set America back 150 years. That's what they think.
Hallelujah. I wish if it were only true.
The First Lady, this is just some more quick bullet points and tidbits before Keith and I sink our teeth into two major topics this hour that will dominate most of the hour, and that's going to be Trump versus the courts, Trump versus the judiciary, his appointment to the Supreme Court, and the confirmation of Jeff Sessions. That's going to be the main items on the plate for tonight. But the First Lady has sued the lying press. We have that in common. Got to play to win. Looking forward to having my day in court. As everybody knows who listens to this show, we sued the Detroit News for libel a year ago, and the wheels of justice are turning quite slowly, but turning they are. And we will keep you posted when there's actually something to say. There have been some briefs and some replies and some paperwork, but we're about a year into this thing and no closer to a resolution than we were when we filed it. How about this, though? Donald Trump last Thursday vowed to free churches and other tax-exempt institutions of a 1954 law banning political activity, drawing fire from critics who accused him of rewarding his evangelical Christian base and turning houses of worship into political machines. Well, of course, for the Democrats, the black churches have always been that way. And we've had spineless pastors who never would get political. But now Trump is going to perhaps ease the restrictions on that. And, you know, here's the thing. 87% of white evangelicals went for Trump. Some of the leadership, like Russell Moore, who are in the back pocket of the globalist and anti-white establishment, didn't. But our people did, and it's time the president did something for them, and by God, we got one.
Hasn't Russell Moore been surprisingly silent since
they muzzled him? I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but that guy's got a gag in his mouth, and he probably likes it.
And to tell you the truth, it was probably our getting in touch with various Southern Baptist friends of ours and that started a kind of populist groundswell against Russell Moore. But let me just say this. The difference between white churches, black churches, is that the white pastors like to play by the rules. The black pastors feel that if there's a rule like that, it was made to be broken. But, and, you know, it's surprising. The big matter that animated Coretta Scott King into writing that letter that Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, was reading on the floor of the Senate to try to besmirch Sessions as a racist.
We need to cue up the Tim McGraw song Indian Outlaw in honor of.
Yeah, right.
Elizabeth Warren.
But anyway, what was really Alabama, they found a black minister going to the mailbox right before the election with, it looked like Santa's bag of goodies, you know, from his sleigh. He had this huge bag of absentee ballots that he was stuffing into a mailbox and couldn't get them all in. He had so many absentee ballots. Of course, if that doesn't reek of electoral fraud, I don't know what does. But of course, the actual bona fides of the prosecution, and of course what he ran into was jury nullification from a black jury down in the Mobile area. But you don't get the whole story from the mainstream media. That's why you tune into the Political Cesspool.
And that's why we're so popular, and that's why we get so much press, and we're attached at the hip to Trump all of last year. Quick things, just bullet points. It's hard to believe that Trump's only been in office 3 weeks. He hasn't even been in office a full month. It seems like a year ago when I was there for the inauguration. That was 3 weeks ago. He has already made a call to Vladimir Putin, Christian Russia, who should be our greatest allies, and even offered soldiers to go to Mexico to combat the cartels. Eddie Miller, who is ashamed of his Vietnam service, two tours honorably discharged in Vietnam, said he would reenlist in the Army if he could go down there and fight with our forces against the cartels. Hey, that's just 3 weeks of work, folks. And Keith and I broke down a lot of stuff 2 weeks ago on the show that Trump has done thus far in depth. Eddie and Sam last week for an hour. And then tonight, I mean, I'm breathless just covering those tidbits. But let's get into Trump and the court. So Trump, with the office of the presidency, has the full authority to control our borders. If a president has the authority to open the borders, as Obama has done, it would seem that the president would have the authority to close the borders. And this ridiculous ruling that some no-name judge in Washington has made that
state foreign, of Washington. We'll have to ask Lana about this later.
That foreign citizens have the right to come here. They have no rights as American citizens. But we're going to have a showdown between Trump and the judiciary. And, of course, what it comes down to, Keith, is this, and I'll let you hold court, and we'll dive into this a little bit more deeply in the next segment. But not even the Supreme Court, even though all of these presidents in recent years have rolled over and played dead when the Supreme Court offers an opinion, not a law, but an opinion, not even the Supreme Court has the authority, constitutionally speaking, to overrule a president. They offer an opinion. But if they don't have the authority to do it, surely to God, some liberal judge that you've never heard of shouldn't have more power in the Ninth Circuit than the president. Only Congress has more power than the president.
Well, it was just a district court judge, by the way, for the Western District of Washington State. And look, the perfect counterpoint to this is the Alien Gonzalez matter, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Basically, the Cuban community in South Florida was trying to keep this child from being sent back for communist indoctrination and brainwashing and everything else. But the court, the Supreme Court, said that the president's authority over immigration is so unquestioned and so firmly rooted in our Constitution and in our statutory law that it didn't matter if they were sending him back for death, basically. They would send him back if that's what the president wanted. My, how the times have changed, James. Now that, you know, basically what has happened is that when the president's immigration policy is to transform America into a different country, the president wins. When the president's immigration policy is to promote international communism, the president wins. But when the president's immigration policy is to protect Americans, some pissant judge announces that his authority exceeds that of the president, and the mainstream media is firmly ensconced in the amen corner, nodding their heads with approval and stroking their chins, as if, you know, why can't we play by the same rules? It's like Chinese baseball. They move the bases when the ball's in the air. I've never seen anything like the left. The most disingenuous liars ever.
All right, we've got two more segments in this hour before we get into the second hour when Lana Lochtiff and Henrik Palmgren from Red Ice Radio are going to join us, Red Ice TV, Radio 314. You're not going to want to miss tonight's action-packed show. But first, more about Trump versus the judiciary and the confirmation of Jefferson Beauregard Sessions as Attorney General of the United States. It's a new day at the DOJ. We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Posing as journalists and television crews, FBI operatives tricked the Bundy ranching family and their supporters into giving on-camera interviews that prosecutors may use in upcoming trials, reports The Guardian of London. In a court filing, defense attorneys representing Clive and Bundy have described how the FBI created a fake film production company called Longbow Productions as part of a wide-reaching deceptive undercover operation that manipulated several defendants into making what are described as boastful, false, and potentially incriminating statements during what they believed to be media interviews. The prosecution has admitted that FBI agents did act in an undercover capacity as independent documentary filmmakers. When the jury finds out this is a tactic they used, none of them will think it's okay, predicts defense attorney Daniel Hill, who is representing Ammon Bundy in an upcoming trial in Las Vegas. Greg Leslie, legal defense director for the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, contends that if you think every reporter you meet could be an agent of law enforcement, it really has an immediate impact on any journalist coming to try and cover that story. During the recent trial of Ammon and Ryan Bundy and several others on federal charges arising from last year's protest occupation of Oregon's Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, revelations about the role played by paid FBI informants helped secure acquittals. The jury did not like hearing there were undercover agents, recalls Lisa Bundy, Ammon's wife.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support.
go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
And we love you every day of the year, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't it interesting how quickly the months and the seasons roll by when you're having a good time? Hard to believe we've been on the air 13 years come this fall. And through all the seasons and all the victories and all the battles, we're happy to be with you, especially on holidays. I don't guess Valentine's Day is really a holiday. It's just,
well, yeah,
what would you call it? I mean,
it's a Hallmark holiday.
There you go. But anyway, hey. We share it all with you, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. And that was, of course, Neil Sedaka with Calendar Girl. So we're talking about the judge who has blocked Donald Trump's very sensible America First refugee executive order. Hardly comes as a surprise that a judge in Seattle blocked the order. But President Trump has responded on Twitter with a flurry of tweets. I'll just read through a couple of them. When a country is no longer able to say who can and cannot come in and out, especially for reasons of safety and security, it's big trouble. Interesting that certain Middle Eastern countries agree with the ban. They know certain people, if they're allowed in, it'll be death and destruction. Another, the opinion of this so-called judge, I like how he worded it that way, which essentially takes law enforcement away from our country, is ridiculous and will be overturned. Another, what is our country coming to when a judge can halt a Homeland Security travel ban and anyone, even with bad intentions, can come into the U.S. Because the ban was lifted by a judge, many very bad and dangerous people may be pouring into our country. A terrible decision. And finally, why aren't the lawyers looking at and using the federal court decision in Boston, which is at conflict with this ridiculous lift ban decision? The judge opens up our country to potential terrorists and others that don't have our best interests at heart. Bad people today are very happy. Hunter Wallace has commented on this, Keith, saying that he has become increasingly sympathetic to a monarchy. Because Congress has become, of course, nothing more than a bunch of worthless puppets to large donors. The federal courts are even a bigger disgrace. They have issued rulings on everything from immigration to sodomy to abortion to gay marriage, which make a mockery out of the concept of representative government. They have redefined institutions that have lasted for thousands of years with the stroke of a pen. They do not have the power to legislate, except our government has given them that power. If President Trump really admires Andrew Jackson, he will ignore this order. God save the king. This all started with Brown versus Board of Education. If you didn't like that, you can't like this. If you like that, you can't not like this.
Well, you're right. We need to unpack this, okay? This is what's going on. First of all, co-equal branches of government concept, bullet point, keep that in mind. What has happened in America since the Brown decision has been that the most powerful part of the federal government, as established by the Constitution, which is the executive, the president, the legislature, which is the two houses of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, and third, the judiciary. Of those three, it was Alexander Hamilton writing Federalist Paper number 78 who said and assured the people of America who were voting for ratification or non-ratification of the U.S. Constitution in 1791, he assured them that the judiciary was the weakest and least dangerous branch of the federal government. Boy, did he ever get that one wrong. Ever since the Jewish migration into America, and this is what it came from, the ascendancy of this idea of judicial supremacy and the power of judicial review. Now, the Supreme Court had tried numerous times in the 19th century, beginning with Marbury versus Madison in Thomas Jefferson's tenure as president, 1803, to assert that they were the final word on what was constitutional and what wasn't. Well, every president up until Eisenhower, with the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education decision, what they did was they blithely ignored the Supreme Court. Thomas Jefferson ignored the Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison. In the Cherokee Removal Act case, which Chief Justice Marshall, who was there basically from the beginning, authored in, I think, in the early 1830s, what President Jackson said when he heard of the decision was, "Mr. Marshall has made his decision, now let him enforce it." Of course, Abraham Lincoln ignored Roger Taney, who was then the Supreme Court Justice.
And Buchanan, Pat Buchanan has written a column that covers some of this, which everyone should read, which will be posted to our website on Monday. Sorry, Keith, go ahead.
But State ex rel Milligan, which basically Lincoln had the entire legislature of the state of Maryland arrested as they entered the legislative chamber because he knew that the first item on their agenda was going to be secession and that they were expected to vote to secede from the Union, then Washington, D.C. would have been surrounded by enemy territory. Very narrow sliver, of course, being like the panhandle of Maryland, but that's what would have happened. So what he did was he arrested these people, put them in Fort McHenry, you know, ironically where the Star-Spangled Banner was penned by Francis Scott Key. In fact, Francis Scott Key's grandson was a member of that legislature, and he was arrested and kept without habeas corpus by Lincoln. And Lincoln, Lincoln basically had said that he sent out a detachment of soldiers to arrest the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. So that shows so much for historically the power of judicial review. No president up until the time of Eisenhower really bent a knee to it. I guess that Eisenhower, being an old soldier, heard something that sounded like an order and he snapped to attention and saluted, but or else he really was a liberal. That's the other thing you need to remember.
Although Eisenhower did say his biggest mistake in his presidency was Earl Warren. So you
well, no, he said, too. They asked him, I said, Time Magazine asked him, "Have you made any mistakes during your presidency?" And his reply was two, and they're both sitting on the Supreme Court.
There you go, right.
It was Earl Warren and William Brennan, two out, out in left field liberals, if there ever were some. But anyway.
All right, so bottom line, let me ask you this. How does Trump beat the courts back? And how does Trump take the power back from the courts that it has taken for itself and put it back in constitutional check?
Well, the easiest way would be just to pull an Andrew Jackson or an Abraham Lincoln or a Thomas Jefferson and ignore them.
All right, but what can he do that won't get him impeached? Of course, those presidents didn't have to worry about being impeached.
Well, it doesn't matter what President Trump does. They will seek to impeach him. I'll bet you a dollar to a donut hole before it's all over with, they will try to impeach him. But here's what I think it was strategically brilliant. I'm not sure that he planned it. But if you're going to bring them out, if you're going to draw them out to do something like this, this was the perfect thing because it's only going to last 90 or 120 days. It was a temporary ban. They have shown their true colors about doing this, and all he has to do is quietly get the word out to the immigration people, extreme vetting on every one of these people that come from this country. And what extreme vetting means for people like that is give me all your passwords to all of your accounts, all of your Gmail, email accounts and stuff like this, and look them over. You find anything, even the least bit irregular, even if they visited a website or something, deny them entry.
Well, Gorsuch.
Don't make a big deal about it.
Will Gorsuch help us on the Supreme Court?
No, I think Gorsuch has shown his true colors, too. And we're at such a crucial juncture, James, in our nation's destiny right now that we can't afford to nominate somebody, one of these precious nominations by a Republican president, and have him turn out to be the next David Souter or John Paul Stevens.
John Roberts.
Or Lewis Powell. Whatnot. Lewis Powell under Nixon, John Paul Stevens under Ford, David Souter under Ronald Reagan. We've got to get somebody in there that, as we say here in the South, is strong as Garrett Snuff. And I think the best, and furthermore, this whole list that everybody was oohing and on about, it was prepared by the Heritage Foundation, the Federalist Society, and the American Enterprise Institute. Now, I don't trust those people. Their vision of conservatism has got to be neoconservatism. So, David Pryor is the one that I like the best out of the ones that have been named. But, outside of that list, I maintain that I was right from the beginning, just like Pat Buchanan. Ann Coulter and Laura Ingraham put the two blonde bombshells on there, and I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg will start swimming to New Zealand.
Hey, there ain't no sense in stopping there. I would just nominate Keith Alexander for the Supreme Court if we could, or Sam Dixon if we're going to talk about
Sam Dixon would be perfect.
Okay, we'll be back. We're going to talk about the confirmation of Jeff Sessions. Stay tuned.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Away.
bad rap. We get a bad rap. We are probably the most unjustly smeared radio program, the most maligned radio program in the world. Everything we do is not motivated from hatred. It is motivated for love. Love for our God, love for our people, love for our heritage, love for our culture, love for our audience. And that's why I'm here tonight on a Saturday night, and why I'm here just about every Saturday night, why Keith trucks out here to the station every Saturday night, because we love you, ladies and gentlemen, and we love our people.
Like,
and we love
about, like James looks like Telly Savalas, and he says, who loves you, baby? Just like Telly. And let me tell you, this is that's what we've always said, James. Basically, the left pretends to be benevolent, tends to be about love. Instead, they're about hatred. On the other hand, we who are truly about love, loving our own kith and kin, loving our Constitution, loving our nation, we are the bad people. They've got it 180 degrees backwards.
Yeah, but you know what? We're going to put everything right. Everything will be set right in due time, and I think that we're in a crisis in America, and there will be a resolution. Now
is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country.
That's right.
As I used to type in Typing One class.
Or to the aid of their favorite radio show for all of our donors out there. Hey, but I'll tell you this. There was a big kerfuffle in the press, of course, when the Trump administration deports a violent felon, a thug, a rapist, a murderer. You're not going to get these stories that pull on the heartstrings. But, okay, so some woman who was in the country illegally got deported out of Arizona. To hell with her. Honestly, folks, to hell with her.
Well, she's not Little Mary Sunshine either.
They all need to go. She's a felon. She broke the law. Yeah, her husband, her kids are crying. They should be crying that their
mother is a felon. Yeah,
they don't belong here.
She's involved
in the bottom line. You know, Keith, when we were on CNN, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. I'm sorry she broke our laws, but that's all I'm sorry for. I'm not sorry that the law has been enforced.
And what was this felony? She was involved in identity theft, one of the most insidious crimes, one that can ruin lives and ruin credit ratings.
How's the press handling it? How could they deport a mother? How could they?
The silence is deafening about what she did. They're just showing her with these, chillins running around.
They all need to go. If you're here illegally, you have to go. I hope every single one down, millions more to go. That's the way I see it.
Let's have back even Dwight Eisenhower, who was a disappointment to us in so many ways, had the backbone to engage the question under Operation Wetback, in which he basically pumped all of the illegal immigrants from Mexico out of America in about 6 months.
And guess what? I'll be fair. If I broke the law of another country, if my wife broke the law of another country, first of all, I wouldn't be so disrespectful to violate laws of our country or any other country. But if I did, I wouldn't act like, oh my goodness, how horrible, pity is me, woe is me, when the laws got enforced. I would think I should have broken the law.
Well, the thing is, they bought into this liberal claptrap that somehow borders are bad and that everybody has a right to the free movement of goods, services, and people is apparently some holy grail that we need to be grasping a hold of. That's the globalist mantra.
With Trump as president, hopefully Gorsuch, I'm a little more warm on Gorsuch than you are. I think he would at least be good on social issues like abortion and sodomites. But anyway,
I can see him caving in just like John Roberts. So
that is certainly the par for the course with the Supreme Court.
Well, we need somebody in there that is going to be able to take the flak. Sam Dixon, Ann Coulter.
Okay. We might not get Dixon, but anyway, hey, we could probably do better, that's for sure. Here's the thing. All right, Jeff Sessions, though, you got Trump, maybe a good guy on the Supreme Court that'll tilt these things 5-4. You got Jeff Sessions, new day at the DOJ, 52-47. It's official. He was confirmed by 5 votes. Jefferson Beauregard Sessions is your new AG. And in response to that, here's more hysterical headlines. The American right wants a new civil war. This is how they responded.
Oh, we want a new civil war, huh? Not California.
Well, here we go.
They're seceding, folks, not us.
This is what the Guardian writes. Major publication. It's chilling to acknowledge it, but we must. Large sections of the American right want another civil war. They have spent years amassing the weaponry for it, and their signifier of choice, hunting camouflage — they couldn't actually want to go hunting, they want a civil war — also gives a major clue as to what they're thinking. In this situation, the choice of the U.S. left, of minorities, of women should be to resist, but don't give the enemy what they want. This was an article written in response to Jeff Sessions being appointed as the AG or confirmed as the AG. Hey, but I'll tell you this, that could be where we're heading if you have California and all these belligerents and all these rioters. Yeah, all of these rioters are getting increasingly violent, Keith. But this time, if California seceded, and if there was another civil war, this time we don't lose again. But I'll tell you this, no matter how it plays out, it would appear as though an inevitable crack-up is coming. Everything is swiftly becoming politicized, including previously neutral areas like sports, the Super Bowl, shopping, Ivanka Trump.
Well, maybe the good Lord will take care of the whole situation, and they'll have the big one at the San Andreas Fault, and all that coastal area will just slide into the Pacific Ocean.
If we could lose California and New York, this whole country would be the way it should be. Guided by the moral rudder of the South and the heartland, America is still a pretty decent country outside of New York and the left coast.
But, and again, never lose sight of the fact that it was Jewish power and influence that made that transformation possible. In the second great wave of immigration from 1890 to 1920, that's when Jews started to come over here in a critical mass.
We don't forget that, and we don't forget to remind people of that fact. But I want to ask you.
But see, what they did, the next step is they got control through cultural Marxism of the entertainment industry, the news media, the academia, everything that sets cultural values, they have control of. And that's why it's so frustrating to most average Joe and Jane Doe on the street as to why we can't get traction for our ideas when a lot of people, you know. Also, another thing they brought out in this is 85% of the land mass of the United States of America is red. They voted Republican, but only 48% of the votes cast were Republican. And of course, what that screams to me is voter fraud. And Jeff Sessions has the experience.
All right,
he's
so
caught the flag.
This is the question. This is what you got to get at with the 2 or 3 minutes we have remaining. How does Jeff Sessions change the trajectory of America? How does he help Donald Trump in his quest to make America great again? What can he do? What will he do as the new AG, just a couple of days on the job now, to get the job done in a way that traditionalists will approve?
Real easy. Just start enforcing the laws that are on the books on immigration. Get them
tracked down on the rioters and the BLM.
Yeah, and then use a hate crime law to persecute the real hateful criminals, ones that are racially animated. And, of course, that would be the black-on-white crime. Use that. Also, enforce the Civil Rights Act of 1964 as it was written and go after these colleges, universities, law schools, medical schools that are enforcing affirmative action as racial discrimination against whites. Those are all things we can do. The problem, though, Lou Dobbs on Fox News Network, by the way, who's my favorite personality on Fox, said that 70% of the federal judges are liberal, okay? Basically, nobody appointed more of them than Trump's predecessor, Barack Obama. And, of course, they're as left as you can get. We basically need to make the projection of Alexander Hamilton in Federalist Number 78 a reality and make the federal judiciary the weakest and least dangerous branch rather than the most important and most pernicious and most dangerous branch of the government. We need to relegate them to the role that the founding fathers envisioned for them, which was that they were going to be the weakest and least dangerous branch. Instead, they become the most powerful branch. And if one maverick judge out in Washington State can shut down the president's authority, constitutionally mandated authority to control immigration, things are seriously out of kilter. What has happened basically since the Brown decision is that the legislative branch, Congress, has ceded power to, one, the judiciary, two, the executive somewhat, as long as they have a liberal in there, and three, something that was not even envisioned by the founding fathers, and that's the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy, the embedded bureaucracy, is going to be the biggest hurdle that Trump has to overcome, and he needs to start doing his celebrity apprentice role again, revive it, and say, you're fired, to probably two-thirds of the federal employees that are in strategic positions in, like, the customs or in the immigration service or in the Somebody, for example, somebody leaked information about who was the, about the what's the guy's name that about. About getting to Russia, you know, the Russians that say don't worry about the sanctions. What's worrisome about that to me more than anything else is the leak. We got to stop leaks by leftists working up the fifth column in our government.
We've been on the air 13 years, and I don't know if an hour has ever gone by that fast for me. I'm going to go to the green room, get some oxygen, and we'll be back with Lana and Henrik from Red Ice. Stay tuned. Liberty News Radio Network.